News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, good morning, Paul Reid, CEO of HSE. Paul Reid joins us now. Paul, we have so much to get through. A huge amount of concern and criticism has been levelled at the vaccine rollout programme this morning by both doctors and TDs. Can you firstly give us a kind of an overview of where things stand currently?
It's my Lord, lass of Shock and Gaelic here. Good morning.
Carmila.
I think if you stand back from it all, where we're at right now, I mean, first of all, to make the point, because I think it is getting missed, we're meeting, still meeting, every week we get in 99.6% of our vaccines been administered in the week. Right now, thankfully, where we stand today, we've now got to some of the most vulnerable groups, long-term care facilities, nursing homes completed, most healthcare workers completed by the end of next week. And now, as we're in the over 70s and over 85s, 70% of the 85-year-olds completed by last weekend, vast majority being completed by the end of this weekend. So, you know, getting to most vulnerable groups, and very positively, the benefits that we're seeing both in terms of transmission levels, mortality, sickness are really positive. So, you know, that's the really positive position where we are. Two big issues, I suppose, as of this week. One is the delivery issues from AstraZeneca, which is causing us huge frustration, angst. They are committing to meet their quarterly deliverables through, so about 370,000 from what we have seen over the last week, this week and into next week are two significant deliveries of schedule have been committed and not meeting the full schedule that they have, we're expecting them to meet. So very late notice of it. They're saying they'll make it up over the following couple of weeks. But a huge frustration for us because I know it's projected as we're missing our targets. The reality is, AstraZeneca are missing their commitments to us on delivery. We're delivering everything we get every week.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm just reading page 2 of the Irish Times this morning. Vaccine targets to fall short by 25,000, and that's over the past 2 weeks. So I know what you're saying, and I don't believe that it is all down to some kind of mismanagement, but there is significant concern. What can be done? I mean, AstraZeneca, the forecast has changed 3 times in a week what they will be giving us. But also there are things around cold chain difficulties with the mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer vaccines, the logistics, there's an issue. And we've seen during the week as well this report that more vaccines are given on certain days than on others. I think it is understandable that people are concerned.
Yeah, sorry, I would specifically like to address that issue. If you take the GP vaccination programme that's ongoing, which is our biggest one right now, and we're aiming to have the over 85s completed by the end of this week. First 2 weeks, 95% all completed, well on target, delivered. This week we have encountered significant issues and it has frustrated GPs and particularly frustrated some of the over 85s whose schedules have been either cancelled or delayed. So, yes, we did meet significant issues from our own perspective about committing to expected deliveries for a smaller number of GPs. I just want to put in that context. So about 65 GP practices next week, which are the smaller GP practices who couldn't be in a position to buddy up, are rescheduled into next week. Now, that's about 850 of the 72,500 patients, if you like, that will be vaccinated next week. We also, so certainly, some suppliers didn't meet their expectations. Some suppliers didn't meet on the day they expected it. It was a marginal number in the total, but I fully acknowledge and fully accept we have put extra supports in for GP,
okay,
an extra contact centre, an extra weekly communications. We know we've to strengthen some issues that have emerged this week.
Okay. And what do you say, Paul, to the accusations of poor communications? GPs say that they don't know what is happening, that they're told that they're getting a supply on Tuesday, then they're told on Monday it's not coming, and then it actually arrives, or that they're told it's coming 2 days later, and that there's mixed messages and a lack of information being given. Is it that the HSE is giving all the information that they have and worryingly they don't have it themselves, or has there been a failure in communication?
No, but I will take it on the round. If you take the first week, we set out to do 13,000. We did 14,000 vaccinations with 255 practices. Second week, we set out to do, working with 500 practices, we did 54,000. So in a vast majority of practices, it has worked. This week, we'll do 542 practices and we'll practically meet the 72,500. But I fully acknowledge in a number of practices across country, exactly what you have said has happened. And yes, we have to strengthen our communications. We're putting in a dedicated line for GPs to contact us. We're putting in resource managers who work directly.
It's reported in the papers there's 10 people managing that line for 1,300 practices. That's still going to create, I suppose, a black hole of communication, surely?
No, but I think in essence it's not about number 10. It's about how we organise the schedule, which, again, has worked in the vast majority of cases. I think what we've put in place, Kieran, I don't know, you're a medic, you're familiar with this one, the complexity of this Pfizer and the mRNA vaccine that we're, and the Moderna that we're delivering to GPs is more complex. And there's three kinds of ways that the GP has been working with us doing it, which is large vaccination centres working really well, larger GP practices working really well, budding up really well. We have run into difficulties with it, you know, smaller practices. Now, I do acknowledge some of the bigger ones as well. But yeah, yes, we have to strengthen a few issues. Okay. But overall, and as we head into the total over 70s, we're making significant progress, and we've also started the 80 to 84s this week.
Which is all for the good, and I know that there is hope in all of this. Will we achieve the 1.2 million doses by the end of March that we've been told that we will achieve? We were told that a number of weeks ago.
Well, two things on that. One, the 1.2 million is the delivery schedule that's been committed to us across the three suppliers to date. The 1.2 million, and we always qualify this, about 200,000 of that is delivered on the last day, so they won't be vaccinated in March, but it will be. It's a delivery that we're expecting. Now, I've said this consistently with you, Kira, everything about this programme this first quarter has been about unpredictability of supply levels across the three suppliers, Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca. So, you know, I'm always very cautious about committing each week and what they are committing to, because there has been issues with the three suppliers to date. My expectation is that settles, predictability levels get better,
okay,
and their commitments are met stronger.
Taking what you're saying from that, though, Paul, if some of that delivery arrives on the last day and we're delivering the vaccines into the arms as we get them, by the first week of April, can you say we will have had 1.2 million doses given?
I can definitely say, Kira, we just said every week, whatever we get, we will administer, and we've lived up to that commitment. So
1.2 million by the first week of April?
That's the commitment of delivery we're scheduled to get. If we get that, we'll be vaccinating us every week as we get it.
With regard to going forward into the second quarter, April, May, June, over a million vaccines per week, over a million vaccines per month, rather, a quarter of a million vaccines per week. Do we have the staff to do that? There have been questions about the recruitment process. I know that it has been extended. The deadline for vaccinators being hired was the 2nd of March, and that's been pushed forward now. Do you have enough staff to deliver that?
Yeah, two approaches to it. One is the vaccination centres, which we'll be doing a significant number of this, these vaccinations in. 40 centres, well in preparation, many of them up and running already, which we're doing with some of the GPs and some of the over 85s. Secondly, in terms of staffing level, we've 9,500 staff now trained, qualified trained staff now on our registration for vaccination. Thirdly, we have a national recruitment campaign going on at the minute. There's over 1,100 applications in that, thankfully, all hugely qualified. And
is that enough, Paul, to deliver a quarter of a million vaccines per week?
Well, if you take it the way we've been delivering it, Kira, I mean, I make this point regularly. If you look at GP practices, which you're more than familiar with, during the flu vaccine, over a three-month period, GPs alone administered over a million vaccinations for flu. So that alone is a huge reach for us. Vaccination centres, some of them will have up to 50 bays in each of them. Some will have 30, some have less. So that's our main kind of delivery mechanism. Staffing in them, significant. Some of them doing 5,000 per day vaccinations and 12-hour days.
So you believe it's all in hand. Can I ask you just lastly, very briefly, reported in the papers today, COVID-19 outbreaks in Galway, 400 students affected around NUIG. These are students who travelled from their homes to college campuses and to college accommodation. There's an issue around students living in college accommodation. They're studying online. They've nothing to do, although they're living away from home. Should this have been addressed? We've seen problems this week in UL and this report coming from NUIG.
Yeah, two things. I mean, I said this before to hear. I think the young people of Ireland, students, have done so much for this country in such an awful time, and they've made huge sacrifices across the board. And, you know, I know we home in on these incidents, and they are, you know, they're really important that we do talk about them because they're very risky. But overall, I just want to make the point what students have done, what they've sacrificed.
And I agree with that. But did we get it wrong, encouraging students to take up those places in accommodation that perhaps they didn't need to take up?
Well, I think the third level institutes, and, you know, they have tried their best to make what might be a reasonable approach with balanced risks. I have to say, the third level colleges, on the college sites, they have put an amazing amount of infection prevention and control measures in place. I think they have themselves shown great leadership even working in with colleges, or sorry, even working in with the students where they're where they have their accommodation. So, you know, I think it'd be unfair to criticise colleges. The approach of having people back is to try to get them some level of normality, but in a very balanced way.
All
so,
right.
you know, unfortunately, it's difficult to manage some of the exceptional issues that have happened.
Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Paul. That is the CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid.